Welcome once again to another fantastic episode of the Business Creators Radio Show. We help business creators like you win at the game of business and marketing so you can thrive from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion and make a difference for your community, market, and audience. Please take a moment and visit our website, www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com. You'll find hundreds of episodes covering a breadth and depth of topics relevant to you as a business creator, and links to subscribe via your favorite network so you get fresh episodes delivered straight to you. And now, here's today's episode. Let's get started.
My name is Adam Homey. I am your host. I am once again honored by your wise decision to tune in and invest in yourself today. Here at the Business Creators Radio Show, we take you to those places where you have those mastermind meetings and aha moments that can change your trajectory or at least bring you a little bit closer to serving from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion. We don't have some $25,000 Hollywood quality studio. In fact, I'm sitting out here on my balcony here in Las Vegas, Nevada, known to some as the hottest city in America, enjoying a hot late summer day. And we are going to be discussing a topic that I think a lot of our audience is very excited about, regardless of what economy we're in. It's about how to push buttons and find profits. Ooh, well, what does this mean?
What does it mean?
Hold on. I know you're going to chomp at the bit. It's like, can I kiss the groom, right? All right. So what if finding profit to 2X or 10X your business is only a few clicks away? Our guest, who I'm about to tell you about, shares how your next business decision is waiting for you and your customer and prospect data. With a single dashboard, she's helping clients click on their marketing channels in a blink. What's working, what client campaigns are leaking money, and which efforts are secretly bringing in the most profits. So we're going to discover about how you can leverage your data and see what's ahead long before your competitors, and how to tweak your metrics just a little bit so you can create your best year yet. Our guest is Nicole Schmid, and she is the founder of Smart Cookie Media. She's a four-time entrepreneur who understands what it means to have a few balls in the air. She's a mom and the creator of a podcast, The Serial Entrepreneur Show. And I don't mean serial as in C-E-R-E-A-L. I mean serial as in killing it over and over and over again. Nicole interviews entrepreneurs and experts on how to find success even when you have competing priorities through end-to-end podcast production workshops and VIP day marketing services. Her team creates results in as little as a day. So basically, within that bio, we found out that to a degree, Nicole is a direct competitor of mine. And this is why you all want to host your own podcast, because it allows you to have these types of conversations without brand interference or loyalty questions. So if you're thinking about hosting a podcast, do it. I have a podcast. Nicole has a podcast, and it's because we're podcast hosts with our unique new media portals that we can connect in ways that are otherwise unavailable to the general market. That's a button you can push and find profits. And with that, Nicole Schmid, come on in. The weather's fine.
Thanks, Adam, for having me. I wish I was with you today. Outside Chicago, it's not quite as nice.
Yeah, well, I kind of channeled my inner Bob Barker there, manufacturing the edits of that bio there. So I read off the official version. And what we like to do here is that official version was so impressive, I'm not even sure I'm worthy to be in your presence, and this is my show. So what we want to do is we want to raise the impression level even higher and have you tell us in your own words a bit about your journey and what's brought you to where you are today, serving business creators from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for asking. So I grew up as a contractor's kid, an entrepreneur's daughter, and a family, 11 aunts and uncles, and many of them owned their own thing. And so in my family, whether you were at a pool party with aunts and uncles, or you were out with cousins that may have been older than you, or I was with my parents who even divorced and ended up having their own thing as well, there was always a conversation around business, around making money, about making a deal. And I joke that it was kind of like other people's horse breeding, like you were likely going to be in this world. And those in the family that weren't, they now instead, I say, own their classrooms, because a lot of them have become teachers and professors. And so this world of entrepreneurship and cracking the code, finding the profit has been something I've just lived and breathed since I was about 8, 9 years old and loved it. Couldn't get enough.
Wow, that's great to have that foundation. See, I had an entrepreneurial interest from childhood myself, and even in college when I was supposed to be like studying for exams and writing term papers, I was on the early, like the 1990s version of the internet, figuring out, or at least trying to figure out e-commerce, because I wanted to get into some sort of business selling custom auto sound parts for competition car stereos. I mean, I was looking at this stuff and it was really intriguing me. It was another 5 years before the entrepreneurial bug bit hard enough that I went for it. But the seeds were there because there was just something in my mind that told me that, yeah, I'm going to college here. And at the time I thought I was going to be a lawyer, but I just don't, there's something about this. I just don't see myself going to an office every day. I don't see myself following a path, but I don't know how to define that yet. So part of my mission in life is to help people understand that there are questions that they can be asking. Because many times we don't know what we don't know. We don't know what questions to ask. We don't even know the questions are available to ask. And what you had going for you is you had those conversations around you very early on. When I was about 9 years old, I was getting lectures about how I should get involved in the stock market and save 15% or whatever. And meanwhile, I'm just thinking, I want to go buy, I want to go buy nice clothes. I mean.
Now, don't let me fool you though. Just because you're around those conversations doesn't mean the opposite doesn't happen.
Oh, yeah.
There was plenty of, you're going to go to school, right? Like you're not going to do what we're doing, right? This is hard. This is hard work. And I was an 80s kid, right? So we were broke most of the time. I
Oh,
mean, it was
yeah.
a challenge and it was a struggle. And, marketing was flyers in a door and yard signs and a hope and a prayer that a hailstorm came through. So it was not, it's not as glamorous as it sounds. At least the conversations were there. So you're right. I did get to know there were some questions to be had, but man, my dad still was like, "You're going to go to school, right? Get a corner office somewhere. Go do that. That's easy." And it's not that easy.
Oh
Figure
yeah,
that out too.
yeah, yeah, and easy is a relative term.
Yes.
Yeah, I got I got the same thing. You know, all that, that traditional stuff again just really doesn't interest me. And as entrepreneurs, I mean, you were around the entrepreneurs, so you heard the stories both of how fun and exciting it was, and you also knew the journeys. I mean, and even entrepreneurs who are highly successful deal with this crap all the time. I mean, just the other day, I was down a lounge where I hang out sometimes and use as an office, and I was speaking with somebody, a guy who owns a $10 million company, and he told me that just last month, the day before direct deposits were supposed to go into his employees' accounts, that his bank account was $380,000 short, and he had to come up with 400 grand that day. I mean, he
Ouch.
did it. But the thing is, this is a prosperous, successful business. But yet, cash flow is weird like that. I found that sometimes I can go from having $15,000 to $5 in my checking account, and I wonder what the hell happened. And this is the part, and this is the part that they don't often tell you in entrepreneur school, which takes the form of seminars and things like that. And this is what your relatives may or may not have warned you about is, it's you go to a job, you know that paycheck's going to be there every 2 weeks, and the part of the conversation they don't tell you is because you don't see what your employer goes through to make sure the check clears.
So true. So true.
So let's dive in here. I know you're going to tell us a bit about an application you have, which is great. But first of all, let's lay some groundwork here that I think will help inform this. And one of the things that we deal with, you are my direct competitor here. I have my program is called Launch Your Podcast Fast. Now, how the hell do you do it in 14 days? Because I haven't found that magic grail yet.
Oh, it takes some effort. We've managed to do it for just a small handful, but that's about it. So we'll see.
So you know the 14 days is relative. Now in my experience, and I say this with love for all my clients because they're all fantastic people. I mean, the mechanics of it can be set up in less than 14 days. Now our process is an entire branding exercise. Where actually does involve creating a brand for the podcast. The podcast gets its own website for a combination of branding and search engine purposes. There's training available to the guests on hosting strategies. There's a whole process we use for getting episodes together, having them do interviews so that we create a splash on launch day, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of that can be established in a lot less than 14 days. Challenge is getting the episodes done. Because if you're filming them yourself, you know how it is. You know how it is when it's time to hit record after you've finally cleaned your house. And if you decide to take the interview format, which I think is a lot faster, at least for starting out, well, you got to get those people scheduled.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Absolutely. So it's relative. But what I do want to point out is it looks like you and I both have processes for getting it done quickly. So I know you're not going to spill all your guts to your competitor, but tell us a bit about your magic.
I'd be happy to tell you anything. I've open book. That's what it means to be on a show, right?
Yeah.
So I think like you, Adam, I believe that money loves speed, right? And time is money. So if we can provide something and start helping our clients get quick wins, and that's whether we're dealing in marketing services or putting out a dashboard together, money loves speed. And if we can get them those answers faster, can show them those quick wins sooner. Number one, there's now this tether, right? We've helped them win. We become their guide and their story, and they're the hero. So I believe that to be true. I also find that when I can be nimble as a mom, it just serves my calendar better. Some of the ideas I've come up with about speed all happened because I had a three-year-old while I was very pregnant in the middle of COVID. And right in the middle of all of that, you know, my husband starts working from home. We have no childcare. It was a wild time. And I thought, you know, I was working breakneck speed in one case for a candidate for Congress. And I thought, I can't do that anymore. I can't go shake hands and kiss babies with him.
You were in the political world. I'm actually trying to get into it. I'm not going to share any details here. I'm not running for office, but I am exploring some options, getting involved potentially with a PAC or a super PAC. I have some things that I'm
incredible
have going on in the background, but I'm not going to say a damn word about it to anybody.
Okay. That's good. That's good. When you're ready. If you ever want to chat shop off the record, I'm here. I will be
hitting you up for if I make it work. I am going to be hitting you up for a contribution for the candidate who chooses me, whether you like them or not.
You bet. You bet. Yeah. You bet. You let me know. You let me know. So I just thought, like, how can we break a lot of things down? And that's really what it came down to, was how could I do that in a completely changed world and environment? And so I thought, well, we're just going to start to whittle away at the pieces that we can do. And it always came back to data for me, that if I could prove a few things through the data for a client that I'm working with, then I know that they can have repeatable success, right? I know that it's going to win long-term for them. And by long-term, you know, that could be an ad campaign that I know will last 6, 10, 18 months. And if I can give that to somebody, then by golly, I was going to do it. And that's what we've done over the last 3-4 years.
Yeah. And I find that templatization as much as possible is the way to go. Launch Your Podcast Fast has been around for almost 3 years officially, although I've been doing that work for 5 years at this point. Mm-hmm. And what we discovered about a year and a half ago is from our original package from the pilot program, it included a whole bunch of stuff that our clients didn't really care about. Mm-hmm. And it also didn't feature some things that our clients did care about. So, and this is interesting. Check this out. We actually were able to lower the price significantly by taking away stuff that wasn't having any impact whatsoever.
Incredible.
The pieces that we added in were so easy to do that it didn't replace the cost factor. And then we found this one thing that maybe 10% of the clients really cared about and set it aside as an upsell. And because I share this in my marketing, so I don't mind telling you, all of our websites are designed using the Avada theme, and we use the classic template simply because we have our own customized wireframe from it that we can just yank in, change the colors and such, and drop in the text, and it fits perfectly. And it also has the correct sizes for the hero images and the sidebar ads and everything else. If they want to look at one of the other 100 layouts that Avada offers, they have to use Avada if they work with us, but that theme comes with like 100 pre-built websites. If they want one of the 100 pre-builds and then we customize it, well, that's just another $3,000 because now we cannot import our wireframe. We have to build all of this stuff manually. And each one of these 100 pre-builds has idiosyncrasies that we need to discover on a one-time basis. So what I did is, you know, most of the clients were like, you know, whatever. You know what you're doing. Build me a website that works. Like, cool, we got the plan, we'll do it. But for the ones who really want to tinker, we make it available. We just set it aside. So I think part of this has to do with how you position things. So, you know, you start a launching podcast in 14 days or less. How you can, and this is another question we have for you, the whole thing about day rates and things like that. You creating a set it and forget it plan to stand out online, which is really one of the things that your service, the Smart Cookie, does. And it's just a matter of, I mean, you can do market research, avatar development until the cows come home and then go back out in the field, but you're really not going to get this learning until you book some damn clients, get them to pay you and do the thing for them, and then get their feedback on it.
Yeah, so true. So true. So I started focusing on high-end portrait or luxury photographers all across the country, a little bit of Canada and some in Australia too. And that's just it. I just had to pay attention to really one avatar all across these markets. So as long as I could drill in and understand them and find the data sets that would prove that their clients are like other clients, which are like other clients all across these markets, we could show up and, you know, double their revenue in just a matter of months, 90 days. We've had, you know, really, really big successes from people that were stuck and struggling with, you know, we do day rates. So I would call, you know, one client I'm thinking of, her last agency she was working with was more traditional, right? They just kept adding campaigns month after month, but they weren't adding revenue. And so she just was stuck, and we were able to help her break through in just a matter of months and double. And then she's done it again, and she's on her way to do it again.
Yeah. What value do you place on simplicity?
Oh, it's the utmost. I mean, without it, without it, we can't get much done. If we have to constantly have complex things, one of our first podcast launches that we just had, he was like, wait, so we're going to batch record. And I was like, yeah, he's like, so like, this is like batch producing. And I was like, yeah, like putting things in a batch process. He was like, wait, this is so smart. And this is somebody who I think is brilliant. He's in the financial sector, super smart, right? In his right, multimillionaire. And here, you know, something that you and I value of like batch production, he was blown away by. And I was like, yeah, man, this is how we're going to get through it in 14 days. This is how it's going to happen. Right. Because without it, we're not going to get there. And so simplicity has to be at the core. We have to constantly keep just pulling away at that onion layer to get where we need to simply.
Yeah. Well, I have a solution for podcasters, for existing podcasters who want to basically just record episodes and do the fun stuff that really matters to them. And it's called Post Your Podcast Fast. If you visit the website for it, you'll see that it describes an extremely simple process. And then it invites you not to just, you know, not to pay for it, but rather to fill out a brief inquiry and then schedule a brief call with me, because we understand every single one of these is different. Now, regardless, and I actually brought on a new client for this just today, right before we start our conversation. And
congrats.
Thank you. And and one thing that, you know, holds true, regardless of whether they want the most basic version of just put my podcast up, make sure it goes out to the syndication networks, and tell my guests it's live and to promote it. That's the most basic version, to a version that's a bit more sophisticated and complex, like the one with the new client we have coming on. Batching is the way to go. And you know this, the kinesthetically, if you are given a podcast recording with the notes from the episode to create the posting, to do the editing, to get it published on the platforms, and to get the guests to promote and everything else, then when you do the kinesthetics of opening files and doing processes, it actually only takes a few minutes to do four than it does to take one.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So that's why we push on the batch processing. And if they want to do onesie twosies, we charge more.
Yes. Yes. I love it. I love that.
Because I do for both my podcasts, I do them in batches, and you know, that is just the way to go. I mean, as I see it, if you record an episode, you don't want the guests waiting 6 months for it to go out, but but 2 to 3 weeks is reasonable.
Right.
So if you're doing them all on the same day or within the same few days each month, as long as they see it live within 30 days, that's good. I mean, that's a lot better than a lot of shows do.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It reminds me, I mean, my dad owned a roofing business growing up, and And to do a complete tear off and reshingle it would often happen in the same day. Occasionally, if there was a really, really large project, you know, multiple townhomes or something, it would take longer. But usually they would just plan the crew, enough guys out there to get it done in a day. Whereas if there was a repair, somebody just wanted a small repair or he would, I don't know if it was double, it might've been four times the price because the effort to get the one or two guys out there to them to lose their entire day, they're not going to be on a large job. It wasn't the same, right? Like it's just kind of the same thing that if you're not going to get to do the big thing, doing the little thing is just going to take just as much time, just as much effort, and the same ladder, the same truck, a couple guys. It's just not the same.
Yeah. And if I'm a day laborer, I want to get a full day's worth of labor and a full day's worth of pay. I don't want to be doing a 1.5 hour job that then cuts me off from being able to take on an 8 hour job.
Absolutely.
I'm again, and if I'm given that choice every single time, I'm going for the 8 hour job. One trip, one full day, one full paycheck.
Right. Absolutely. And that was the only way that he could make sure his guys would want to go out to those jobs was like, okay, guys, you're going to see the double or the four times that we're charging them because those also came back with headaches, right? So this is a roofing business. So if you were going to repair, say, a skylight or a chimney, you didn't want to warranty it because it could leak as well. So, you know, those were good examples of later on in life for me with pricing.
Right. So with all this stuff, you and I are discussing simplicity, but there is this shiny object syndrome that flashes out there. What are your tips and tactics for managing that?
So I think a little bit of it is embrace it. I think sometimes we hear shiny object syndrome out there and it sounds so negative. It sounds like those of us that may get caught by something shiny or a squirrel that there's something wrong with us that, you know, oh, well, stay focused. We hear, you know, oh, if you could just, you know, stay in your lane, if you could just continue that work is either, I'd have to say that actually the voices I hear myself say to myself sometimes like, oh, just stay focused. Nobody would be brave enough to really utter those words out loud maybe. But I think we hear it as a whole. Oh, you got to be consistent on this. You got to do this or that. Whereas I think that those of us who are entrepreneurs that are creators, I already heard you talk about, you know, college days for you that you were thinking about this other thing while you were pursuing undergrad and then, you know, thinking about law school.
Yeah.
We often are trying to make those choices a lot. So shiny object, I think instead embrace it. I think you said a great word. You said, how do you manage it? I think that's exactly what you do is you manage it. You jot those ideas down. Since recording our show, the Serial Entrepreneur Show, we have interviewed people with one business to four businesses or multiple product lines to, you know, they just keep doing another startup and making a move and they manage it because sometimes their best, most brilliant idea happens over lunch and they run with it and it felt like a whim, but they now, you know, have now dominated that space and they've created their blue ocean. Right. And so I really think it is about embracing it and, you know, just noticing, okay, is this a distraction because I want to procrastinate? Or is this real? Is there something that I should pursue here? Because I've been trying to get on this path for a while. I've been trying to figure out, should I leave college and law school for this e-commerce thing, for this digital marketing thing that's pulling at me? And I think it's when we just keep pursuing that. Now I'm not saying, you know, going wildly off a tangent and losing your revenue. But I think when we can manage that and embrace that, we can understand that that's just how we're wired, that we are wired to see opportunities.
I couldn't agree more. And what I'd also like to add is, you know, I mentioned earlier, I asked you about your thoughts about simplicity. And with one of my consulting clients this morning, you know, he has this new promotion going on, this new lead generation for one of his businesses. He has two businesses under two different names to two different markets. When I mean two different names, he himself has two different names. That's how far we go with this. Mm-hmm. And with one, the best way to describe what's happening with him lately is he's been handed a tray full of 1849 California soil, and now it's time to shake it and get the nuggets. And that triggered the inevitable conversation of, well, we've done the first part of it, so what do we do next? How do we add on to this? And I just paused and I said, think about the 15 years we've worked together, and during our time together, you've also worked with other consultants, you've worked with other marketing firms, and different people have given you different ideas, and you've tried a whole bunch of stuff. And have you noticed that the ones who tell you to do the simplest damn thing are the ones that make you the money? And have you also noticed that they tend to be the people that I recommend to you?
I love it. I love it. Oh, I love that. Adam, how do you, so if I may I ask you a question?
Oh, you're allowed.
How
this
do
time.
you this time? Okay, great. How can I show you off for just a second? Because I think there's something there I'd love to learn from you. How do you, I think you did it really boldly with him right there, but you mentioned 15 years. How do you handle or approach those that you've shared with them the right steps, the next steps, what you see and what you know from your experiences to be true for them? And they don't take that advice. They don't run with it. What's your method of working through that and helping them to, I know that we all like to try to get more clear. Were we clear enough? Tell me an experience like that for you.
Well, let me give you an example, and it's actually from the same client. And you know what? I'm going to out him because I'm going to give him a shout out.
Okay.
His name is Paul Ross. He's the author of Subtle Words to Sell, and he's the creator of Invisible Influence. So he and
Hey,
I
Paul.
have a he and I have a running joke that I may recommend something that he does that him to do something, and he'll just absolutely refuse to do it. Doesn't even want to hear it. And then randomly, like maybe it's 6 months later, sometimes it's 2 years later, he comes back to me with, he say, hey, you got 5 minutes for me? Now, he's one of my top clients, so he's one of the ones that has the privileges that he can go on Skype at any time and say, yo, got a sec? And if I got
Yes.
the sec, he's got the sec, right? And I got this thing I want to run by you. Like, okay, hang on, let me get the headphones. I say, all right, calling now. Ring, 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 ring. All right. We spend 5 minutes showing each other our cats because we're both Alorophiles. And then,
Okay.
as you can see, I'm a pretty zany guy to work with. And
I love it.
what's and then he'll tell me this idea that, we got to do immediately. Why didn't I think of this before? And I'll think to myself, yeah, this is the thing I busted my ass trying to get you to do. But so what I'll say is, that's a really brilliant idea that you came up with completely on your own. I can't believe I never thought of that.
Oh my gosh, that's been my same line to people so many times as I've said, that's a great idea. I'm so glad I gave it to you.
Yeah. And so yeah,
Like,
the point being is people are ready when they're ready, and
right.
you've got to find them where they are now. And maybe they're just not there now. I deal with this a lot with clients who know that launching a podcast is a great idea, but they're just not there now.
Right.
Sometimes you just have to continue the friendship, continue the conversations. Just make sure that they don't forget that you're the podcasting person,
Right.
so that one day you're not hearing on Facebook their announcement that they just launched a podcast, and you're thinking, "What the hell? You said you were going to work with me."
Yeah, no, I
Because
think you.
I've had that happen to me, and it was my fault because I didn't follow up.
Oh,
So
no. Oh
I've
my gosh.
learned be friends with people, and they're good people. And
Yes, of course.
who knows? Maybe you end up doing something else. Maybe you
Of
become
course.
their client, and if they can do something great for you, that's a good thing.
Yeah, well, that's a beautiful example. Thanks for sharing with me. I
Yeah.
recently discovered, and I just heard it in your story, the first story before you outed Paul. Hey, Paul. Maybe it's been a little over a year now, but it dawned on me so many times that that would happen. I'd have that experience, and I would think, am I not being clear with people? Do they not see the value? And then it dawned on me somewhere this year, oh, it's because folks like us who stay really close to market often are first adopters, right?
Yeah.
And for first adopters, we can see the bridges out, or hey, it's clear to go. Now you can go. And others can't always see it if they're not the same, either close to market or they're not a first adopter. They might need to be someone that takes some time or hear an echo from somewhere else before they take action. And so I just had to hear how that
Correct.
goes for you.
Correct. So when they're hearing the echoes from other places, you want them to remember they heard it from you first. Right. So there so there so there there is that. So to finish this, what got Paul excited about doing podcasts all of a sudden, like I'd never mentioned it before, was the opportunity to grow his business around sales training and to connect with people who are in that industry and to form alliances, partnerships, and also to interview prospective clients on the show, which is one of the top strategies we teach in Launch Your Podcast Fast, is interview your prospective clients. So he launched a podcast, and it's a wonderful podcast. It's called The Influencer's Edge. It's basically an ongoing seminar on sales excellence. Now, Paul, for 40 years, has worked with neuro-linguistic programming or NLP. So picture yourself hosting a podcast on sales training and influence. You're an NLP master. And among your first 10 guests are Dr. Richard Bandler and Chase Hughes.
Wow. Wow. Incredible.
And imagine yourself being just the average person wanting to connect with Richard Bandler or Chase Hughes and not having anything to offer them in the form of, hey, I'll give you some free publicity. That wow, is that. That is, yeah. If there's any reason to launch a podcast, and I imagine you tell your clients this as well, it's the opportunity to interview people who you're not going to reach if you blast their DMs with copy pasta or try to get them to hop on a Zoom real quick or, hey, can I pick your brain?
Right.
And I have an article out about this. It's called Candidly Launch Your Podcast and Get Free Business Coaching. So all that stuff you want to pick somebody's brain on, well, yeah. Never ask them if they can pick their brain. Mm-hmm. Ask them if they want to be on your podcast.
Louder in the back. Louder. Yeah. Pick the brain.
And yeah, you know what the best part is when you have them on the podcast, you can ask them those same questions. And now is likely spill their guts. The reason being is you're giving them a platform.
Right. Absolutely.
It's the same conversation as the pick your brain conversation, but yep. Context and format are the difference.
Oh, I love it.
And then, and then when you add reciprocity to it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Right. So, so now what I want to do here is, believe it or not, we're 2/3 of the way through this already. Holy moly, moly, moly. So, I know you wanted to actually speak a little bit about Smart Cookie, and I said that I would be happy to assist you with that. So tell us, first of all, what inspired Smart Cookie, and tell us what it is.
Yes. So Smart Cookie Media was inspired over lunch. It was one of those ideas on a whim, believe it or not. Just like I talked about, I try to pull those ideas out of others. I walked away from two corporate jobs. Actually, I was ousted out, fired two different times. One had a small little itty bitty severance and the next one had a much longer runway. And I thought, why do I keep putting off what I know I'm going to do?
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. I was toasting off a Wecker drive in Chicago the same day. And just so thrilled. My team was crying, but I was thrilled. Enterprise car was rented and it was packed up. I had already been packing for weeks in hopes of just figuring it out, you know, just being brave enough to leave on my own, but wasn't. And I thought, well, what is the thing that I love the most? Growing up in Chicagoland, I loved watching Michael Jordan. And my dad would always say, Nicole, you just find something that you would do for free, just like Michael would. And I'm like, well, I don't know if that man would do it for free if he'd still play ball, but I get it. I got Great. The message. And I said, it's to support an entrepreneur. It's what I was doing with my parents growing up. I love supporting them. It's what I went to school for. I just love supporting an entrepreneur, a small business, and seeing them grow. I don't know if you are on the Enneagram scale, what number you might be, but I'm a 3. So if I can hit my number and I can help you hit yours, even yours, Adam, you keep saying we're competitors, but even yours, like, it's just so thrilling for me to be able to help someone reach the number that they're looking for. And so that's how Smart Cookie was born was, you know what? I love supporting business owners. And I had already owned a business or two already and thought, why don't I just do this on steroids and just take care of people's marketing. And so that's how it began, was all digital marketing is what I was doing in the corporate world, running teams. And I thought, we'll just bring that to a section of humans instead. And so ran after that. The podcast right. came to be because I just kept having these conversations over and over again with people, but I thought that we needed a platform. I thought that we were all wasting our time if we weren't sharing the wisdom with somebody else. And so that's how that happened. But yeah. In time, I really just kept thinking back to how frustrating it was for my family, my parents, you know, their marketing compared to today. You know, it just was a matter of 10 years later. And all of a sudden there was this thing called social media, and then there were insights and there were data points. And instead of relying on a flyer or a good salesman or two, now you could just follow the data. Your clients, your audience could give you clues on what they want to know more about and learn about. And yeah, it took a few more years before ads came around, but just so much targeting as opposed to just hope and a prayer. And I thought that's what I want to help people do is find the things that resonate without them having to guess. And so, yeah, so that's what I started to do was just to really hone in on how can I give clients data points that will prove their marketing will work so they can set it and forget it. So they don't have to feel like they're constantly, what'd you say? Copy pasta, all the places that yeah. they could really just, you know, just really hone in on their message and it be as unique as them, but, as consistent as they really want as that water faucet that they can turn on and off when, you know, when they want more leads, more prospects, more sales, or when they want to turn it down because they're going to Ireland for the month, for example.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And what I meant by poppy pasta is, you know, you're on social media, as am I, and you know, you probably get a lot of friend requests, and you don't know who the person is, but you look at them and you say, oh, they look entrepreneurial and they might be worth a conversation. And there's like 83 mutual connections or mutual friends or whatever. So you know what? I'll click accept. I'm going to give them a chance. And then 9 seconds later, your inbox lights up and it's this long spew about something they do. Like, you know how many times I accept friend requests or connection requests and they ask me, do you have a podcast? And this also happens a lot with colleagues of mine who are book coaches or ghostwriters. They'll get a question like, have you ever considered writing a book?
Oh man, friends. I know. Yeah, I see it the same. I do.
Yeah. The funniest is when I first connected with Larry Winget, who was one of the early guests on this show that we're on right now. He was doing a lot of live streams at the time, so I started becoming a habitual attender. And he said that his biggest pet peeve was when, because you know, he tends to be pretty open as far as accepting connection requests on LinkedIn. He loves to connect with people on LinkedIn because, you know, if you're connecting with them out of the blue, he hopes it's a business conversation. And he said that the most annoying thing is when people would come to him and say, hey, I noticed you have a bunch of books. Have you ever considered doing audiobooks when he has them? So you know what I did is I went to LinkedIn, I sent him a connection request, and I said, Larry, I promise you this. When you accept my request, I will never ask you if you've ever considered doing audiobooks. In fact, I won't mention the word audiobooks. Even if we're discussing one of your audiobooks, I won't use the word.
I love it.
And he accepted and replied with like 20 laugh emojis.
Yes. See, that's right. Good connection. I love that.
Yeah. So a piece of this also, and I think this is important, is just getting to know a person a little bit. And social media gives us the ability to, I mean, we hear the term photo stalking, for instance, which is actually almost a term of endearment. It's just the idea that you're checking the person out and seeing what some of their interests are to find points in common. And social media gives us the ability to do that. I mean, you know, there's no creep factor whatsoever. It's just a matter of this is what they put out. This is what they share themselves, their avatar. And it's them doing an attraction strategy because they want to attract more people. So they want you to see it. Believe me, people who don't want their stuff online are not putting it on social media. So if you see it, it's fair game. I've discovered this a lot. If I'm meeting a woman for the first time and we're having a first date or what have you, and I'll check her out online first of all to make sure she is who she says she is, and second, just to see if there are little cultural references or things we have in common that I can just casually bring up in conversation without saying, I saw on your Facebook that you like Three Doors Down. You don't do that. But for example, if I happen to pick up that she likes Family Guy, for instance, somewhere in that first date conversation, I'm saying giggity.
So funny. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. Sounds like second date. Just saying, Adam. Sounds like a second date.
Well, okay. I will take that under advisement. So Smart Cookie does what exactly? Is this like a tracking system or what does it do?
So we provide marketing services and dashboard services. Okay. So we will, so kind of like a tracking system, but it's a dashboard. So just the same way that we, you know, drive a vehicle or hope that someone else that's driving can glance down and see, you know, how much gas is left in the tank? How much farther can we get there? You know, those cash flow issues that, you know, usually our sweet spot is somewhere close to, or over half a million to million is usually the sweet spot where people need to start seeing this information sooner. Cash flow issues rise up, profit. We can find out where something is leaking right away. If there's a vendor you're working with, maybe with Google Ads, for example, and you're not really sure the reports that they keep sending over and they seem to show them off, but somehow your bank account isn't improving, or at least not the way that you'd like. And so we create a real-time dashboard to the extent that the software they're using is something we can work with in real time. And we compile it all together and we use Clipfolio. We will use a couple others if need be, but we like Clipfolio because of the access it gives us to so many integrations. And we can help these million-dollar companies really find what's working and truly scale, right? So everyone wants to talk about scaling, but no one wants to talk about, you have to have that path to cash, that nice conversion method that's just working, that you can now you can scale it. And so we try to make sure that everybody understands these, you know, key 10 or 15 metrics. And so their entire team is on board. Morale improves, profits improve, and growth becomes so much easier.
Yeah. And so what it does, it gives you the ability to fact check in a way. So you can see from your own perspective, and it's also the ability to get the metrics you actually need. I mean, I think about back in the days when I used to own a web development firm, and the clients say, did you install Google Analytics? Yes. can you make me a report? Yes. What do you need to know? I need to know everything.
Yes. Right. no, you don't.
Okay, but what are you working on right now? Because understanding cost per acquisition is not going to matter when you're trying to figure out how to get 10% of your people thought in through your landing page.
Preach.
You got to take it one piece at a time. It's similar to the conversation I had with the client this morning is obviously he wants to build some levels of sophistication and auto magic to what he's doing with his new initiative. But but I said, let's start with the simple stuff. We got this thing working. This is the ship you've been waiting to have come in. This is beautiful. So let's look at what can we do right now that capitalizes and expands upon what's working now.
Yeah.
Before we get into multivariate funnels and esoteric strategies or what have you, if you're getting 40% open rates on your emails, well, what does that tell you? Send more emails.
Right. Absolutely. Well, and for so long, small businesses haven't had access to this. And by small businesses, I mean even itty bitty tiny, right? Solopreneurs, but also, you know, up to 500 employees. We haven't had access to that. Certainly my parents didn't have access to that. My husband works, he was working internationally for a while, but he works for in the healthcare sector. And, you know, they have deep pockets for all of these large data platforms that they can see all the dashboards they possibly can. But small business owners like me and like you, we haven't had access to these things yet. We are weaving our own data sources behind the scenes of our social media, of our Google Analytics, of if you're using QuickBooks or any or Xero, whatever software you're using to manage money and finances. And then, you know, don't forget Stripe and PayPal. And we're not seeing them all integrate in one place until now. And we're really excited to be able to give that to people so that they can make decisions in a blink.
Yeah. So, and also thinking about what is the real goal. Now, we're both in the podcasting business. So one thing I think you and I both hear from our clients a lot is the phrase podcast monetization, which is something that people who are interested in programming and podcasting are trained to repeat to make sure it's there. What does that really mean? And what I've discovered is that you have to think about what is the big monetization goal. So for most of our clients is they want to interview the people who they want to have become their clients or the people who can introduce them to the next clients. And their idea of monetization, closing high ticket deals, establishing influence, establishing dominance in the industry so as to raise their perception of cachet, which allows them to raise their rates. So, that is actually measurable. Now, sadly, I see folks who get obsessed with clicks and downloads. Now, I'm not putting down clicks and downloads because if you're looking, for example, to get a mass network syndication deal, or you're looking to get a TV show or something like that, or you're seeking funding for the 10-part series you plan to film and put on streaming media, that does kind of matter because they want to see a bit about audience performance. However, I've seen statistics for podcasts and all these podcasts you know of that are like really huge and industry dominant. And yet like basically nobody's listening or downloading. It's funny because that's not what's driving the success of the show. What is pushing the success of the show is its notoriety, popularity, and celebrity, the celebrity expert branding, and the get and the host using as a platform to build their network.
Right. So interesting, isn't it? How often people can put on what looks like a money-making machine, but then you don't realize what actually is the machine that's making the money. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Incredible. You want to out an example of one of those or no?
No, I don't.
Okay.
No, I don't. But I'm just, you know, suffice it to say, it's actually candidly most of them. I mean, we do have one client who is actually focused on that for one of the reasons I just described. I can't say anything about it because their NDA. Okay. I can't say anything about it because their NDA is involved with it at this point.
Oh, yeah.
But but let's just say in that case, then, you know, looking at your listeners and downloads does matter to the extent you want to show reach. But then again, what is a listen? That means somebody clicked play. Now you have to get into what percentage did they listen to? Of the percentage you listened to, what part was it? What message did they receive? Did they go on to subscribe via the network? Did they go on to listen to more shows? Mm-hmm. And as far as downloads, all that means is I might have accidentally clicked a little link underneath the player and it put a foul on my machine.
Right.
It doesn't mean I went and listened to it. It doesn't mean I didn't lose it because I didn't know what folder it downloaded to. It doesn't mean I didn't even realize I downloaded it. You know, every so often you clean out your machines and you're just amazed all the stuff you've downloaded. It's like, I don't remember that.
Right. Yeah. I'm so glad that you shared it this way because there are many times that I'll put it simply that the data from podcasting is like the wild, wild west.
Oh, it is.
And until you know, it matures a bit more, you know, we don't have a good handle, right? I can look at my own numbers and then I can look at Refonic and they vary wildly. It depends on, you know, this or that. And ironically with Refonic, I recently left the membership and they actually ask you, and in the list of questions that they ask you, you know, was it too expensive? Was it, you know, did you find somebody else to work with? Whatever. One of the last ones it asks is, the data was wrong. And I just thought that that's so wild. That just proves that it just hasn't matured yet. Us being able to figure out what really, really matters in the data here. We haven't put our finger on it yet because sometimes it's exactly that. It's those one-off relationships that you make before, you know, turns to your biggest network.
Yeah, well, data collection online, in my view, is basically a 30-year-old who hasn't moved out of his parents' basement yet. I mean, I can go back, you know, over the whole 20 years I've been in entrepreneurship, and back when the things like running Google ads and social media ads were very nascent, N-A-S-T-E-N-T, as in just born, and you know, working with people who do the social media ads, do the Google ads and everything else. So that's not something that I do. In fact, the whole concept bores me. So I've always told my clients to find somebody else for that piece and I'll provide them whatever they need. And some of my clients have worked with some really dynamite ad managers who've gotten them some great results. Whether it's the great ad managers, the middling ad managers, or the ones who are, you know, just really don't know what they're doing, candidly. There's one thing they have in common. Their very first request to me will be to send me a text document that has five different tracking softwares in it and ask that it be added to that section in the website where you say, here, put all your tracking softwares here. And it only took that to happen twice for me to catch on. I said, this is because all five of them are telling you different things and you got to come up with averages to tell our client. Am I right about this?
Right.
So you have five different softwares. They're looking at the same website, which is attracting the same visitors, and they all give you different data.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on what software they were using. I mean, there's plenty of things that if we drill in with Google Analytics to UTM codes, it's crystal clear on what's happening on that site. So some are more clear, some are less, that's for sure. But it just seems to me that the podcast data, that's the one that, man, we just, we haven't really learned enough about it yet.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that's what I also try to explain to folks is like, you know, as part of our package, you know, we, you know, we'll set them up with their Blueberry account so they can see the free version. If they want to pay the, you know, the cup of coffee a month to get the paid version, they can get all the expansion data and things like that. But I can tell you that most of them just want to know the final number. But if they want to get into diagnostics on individual episode performance, referral sources and things like that, it's all there. But then even when you have it, you have to interpret what that really means.
Right.
And if you're using this data to attract advertisers and sponsors, there's still languaging around that. There's another friend of mine. I'm not going to out him. But I do tell his story in some of my training materials that he's in a niche that's very narrow and very deep. And the typical avatar within that niche is a millionaire. So we're already talking automatic high ticket. And he was approached and he's somebody who does coaching and mentoring for people in this particular industry. So, and he has a podcast that he does monologues like five times a week. And he was approached by somebody who said that they wanted to give him a very comfortable five-digit number, and they wanted him to just say for a year that his podcast was sponsored by them and to include their commercial in every one of his episodes.
Okay.
Now, neither side ended up pulling the trigger, and they both had their reasons. His reason was is somehow he got convinced that was a distraction. What? Five digits to change the logo? You got to be freaking kidding me. And on the part of the sponsor, they looked at it again. They said, you know, your podcast is on your business website, and we don't really see why.
Yeah.
We don't really want to put our banners on a website that advertises your business. And candidly, I don't think you want to put our banners on your website either. So on second thought, this isn't going to work, which is why I know, I know your podcast has its own website. You did that exactly right.
Thank you. Good. Okay, good. Check.
Yeah.
You got that. That means a lot. Thanks.
That is a battle I fight to the extent that sometimes I get people come back to me later and say, "Oh yeah, I put my little podcast on iTunes. That's not doing anything." I'll say, for the 50th time, it's called Apple Podcasts. iTunes is the software. Apple Podcasts is the service. Second, I told you that. And third, well, now what we need to do is blend the syndication you've already set up into the web portal you deserve. So there's actually a subset of Launch Your Podcast Fast that serves that particular niche.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Man, you are the authority on these things. I love
it. So as far as Smart Cookie, I want to end with you. So as people are wrapping this up, they're hearing about you. You know, what would be some of the reasons that somebody should really go to your webpage right now? And I also know you have a special invitation for them that I'm going to share on your behalf in just a moment. But who should they see in the mirror and be able to look at that person in the mirror and say, you should become a Smart Cookie?
Well, likely if they're an entrepreneur, they probably already are a Smart Cookie and an overachiever, possibly type A that is really, really driven. So they already are a Smart Cookie. We would just be welcoming them to work with us. I only work with entrepreneurs on my team. That's who I hire because we just all tend to think differently. We strategize differently. Some people think I'm crazy for that, but other entrepreneurs get it. That if we can serve and support each other, we all get a whole lot of places faster. So that's one of the things. If you're somebody who believes in what you're doing and what you're up to, needs a team behind you that is focused on the data so that you can make sure that you understand. Because I always say data tells a story. What is yours telling you? And it's not telling you anything if it's just stuck inside Facebook and it's stuck inside Stripe and maybe Thrivecart or Kartra, wherever it is. But if you can start to pull it out, and you know, we don't take the place of any of the vendors. They want to work with, you know, ad strategists if they want to work with, or if they already are, you know, I say, hey, keep all those people in place. Let them continue to do what they're doing. Let us just give you the tools for them to either sit in on the call and them have some ahas, or you know, really look at a dashboard that can take you to the next level that you keep feeling like you're made for it, you're destined to get there. It's just a matter of time, right? Money loves speed. And so we want to be able to give people in just a few blinks, you know, it takes some time to build out the dashboard, tweak it just right, but give them the story that their data is telling them so they can get to their next level. If that's one of your listeners, that's somewhere, you know, hovering around $500,000, usually $1 million mark is where we really find these friction points, then we'd love to have a game plan call with them.
And even
marketing agencies, I was going to say, even marketing agencies that are out there that would like to provide this service, but you said it, you're like, this would bore me to tears. You said that you'd just be bored and somebody's refer that out, you know, really just as an add-on service. You know, we can come alongside as a white label. We've worked with a lot of different marketers that are just like, we don't want to do that, but we want to do all the creative. We don't want to do that, but we want to do the brand launch. You know, how can we just come beside you?
Yeah.
There's been some coach conversations too that we want to come alongside. But by and large, if you are that client or you're an agency that would like to give this type of detailed support to your team or to the business itself, we're here to back you up.
Oh, fantastic. That's great. Now, I really appreciate your time with us today, and we could probably go another 3 hours on this. I mean, just batting back and forth, and it's a shame that you're not in Las Vegas, because we would have to sit down and probably like record a conversation, create a product out of it. We would make millions.
We would. I look forward to it one day. I'll head that way sometime.
Exactly. But here's the invitation. You have a profit workshop. So I'm going to tell people about it. It's basically the Push Button Profits Workshop. It's free. It gives you a peek behind how all this smart cookie media stuff works and helps you to see when you look in the mirror that you are indeed that person. So to find it, simply go to smartcookiemedia.co. That's smartcookiemedia.co, not com, co, / profit-workshop. Profit-workshop. smartcookiemedia.co. /profit-workshop. You can go. It's a real simple page. You just enter your information, and where it asks where did you hear about this resource, say, I listened to you on the Business Creators Radio, and despite the fact that Adam is a goof, I decided to listen anyway.
This was a blast, see, Adam. Thank you so much.
And see, when you put it that way, I'll know it's authentic. It's like I'm dropping the little cookies in so that we can track.
Like an Easter egg.
Exactly. Easter eggs. Yes. So Nicole Schmid, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been an honor, and believe me, an education.
Thank you, Adam. Take care.
We trust you enjoyed today's episode of the Business Creators Radio Show. Check out our previous and upcoming episodes on our website at www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com. While you're there, be sure to subscribe via your favorite network so you get fresh episodes delivered straight to you. Until next time, have a great day. Take care.